Blog Talk Radio.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
That's not the music. That's not the music.
Hello, welcome once again to the Recruiters Lounge. I'm your host, Jim Stroud. And welcome to another action-packed, fun-filled episode of the Recruiter's Lounge. I don't know if you guys are aware, but there is a new radio show out there. It's called the Recruiting Animal Radio Show, and it is action-packed, fast-paced, wild. If you can imagine Howard Stern as a recruiter, you know what to expect. We didn't see the Recruiting Animal Radio Show. I don't know if we're going to have naked strippers in there or anything like that, but... Thank you, Jim Stroud, for that introduction, that unwitting introduction. Yes, I'm back. Hi, everybody. It's me, the Recruiting Animal, with you again for another action-packed hour of the Recruiting Animal Show. Can't yell about that till the end. If you've come here for the telephone sourcing show, it's called Talk Sourcing, the telephone sourcing show, and you don't want to listen to me, come back at 12:30. Maureen Shareeb and Pam Simon will be here at that time. But right now, it's my turn to speak. And today, I want to talk about professional arrogance. That's right, professional arrogance. I'm mad, and here's why. The other day, I went to the doctor with an older relative who's been complaining about feeling dizzy and losing weight. The doctor says weight loss and dizziness are symptoms of depression. This guy's depressed, he said, and he needs an antidepressant. So I said, you know, I'm not so sure about that. And he said to me, are you a doctor? I said, no, I'm not a doctor, but I know the patient pretty well. But here's what I should have said. I should have asked him this. I should have said, do you ever read the newspaper, doctor? Because in Toronto, they've been filled constantly with the story of Charles Smith. He's a doctor, a pathologist, who sent a guy to prison for killing his niece. Now, 12 years later... it turns out that she died of natural causes. What do you know, eh? Now, 20 of this guy's other cases are being investigated as well. And let me tell you, they're pretty rough. Parents were charged with murdering their children because of this doctor. And just yesterday, you think that's just one case? Just yesterday, there was another big scandal on the front pages of the Toronto Star. General practitioners, doctors, are performing cosmetic surgery in clinics outside of hospitals, and some of them are butchering their patients or even killing them. Nice, eh? And here's another example, a little closer to home for me. An older cousin of mine started falling down, so the doctor put him on Alzheimer's medicine for a year until somebody figured out that he's got Parkinson's disease. My point? Some people shouldn't be so arrogant about their jobs. They have to recognize their limits. But what does that have to do with you? My audience, jam-packed with recruiters. Well, it's hard to believe, but some recruiters have been known to be arrogant, too. They think that when it comes to their candidates, they always know what's right. And why? Well, they might have a good handle on the job market. Maybe. It's really possible. But they also have a conflict of interest as well. They get paid for putting people in jobs, so if the candidate resists, he's just got to be wrong, doesn't he? Or you don't get paid. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty angry today. I don't sound funny at all, because I'm not funny. Anyway, not all recruiters do it, and certainly none of my listeners. No one listening to this show. But all the same, I'll bet it happens, and I'm going to encourage you, all of you, for that reason, don't be someone who says to an inquisitive candidate, are you a recruiter? Because he might say, no, I'm not, but I know something about my business too, you.
I don't usually use that word on the show. I don't usually say rectum on this show or any substitute word for it, really, because, you know, this is a business show, and I have to be dignified, but there's a special reason I'm willing to say it today. My guest is none other than Jason Alba of JibberJobber.com. He's written a book about LinkedIn for job hunters, and he's wildly excited by the fact that Robert Sutton, the no-asshole guy, has written a fantastic review of his book. And this guy, Sutton, is a Harvard professor, so I can't argue with him over what's right and wrong, can I? So, that's what we're going to be talking about today when Jason Alba, the author, is interviewed by me, the recruiting animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show!
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Jason Alba, are you there?
Hey, how's it going, animal?
Okay, great to have you back.
Thank you.
Now, we don't have a lot of time today because I've got to do this telephone sorting show on the back end at, after 12:30. So I'm just going to get right down to the tough questions with you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, now I got to tell you before you start, you probably have, you know, you put out this book, a lot of standard lines ready for the media, you know, hack lines full of business verbiage. You can get rid of those. They're not for this show. Because you're not talking to media hacks here, Jason. You're talking to real people, fellow bloggers who can call in and tell you they don't like what you're saying.
Jam-packed full of recruiters,
that's right. Yes, right. Yes, yes. Now, first, to start right off, I'm going to tell people about the title and where they can find your book. It's called I'm on LinkedIn, Now What? And the website is imonlinkedinnowwhat.com. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. There's no apostrophe.
For now?
Pardon me?
For now, you can go to LinkedInHelp.com until LinkedIn sends me a cease and desist letter.
LinkedInHelp.com.
LinkedInHelp.com.
Okay, well, maybe you shouldn't be promoting it. Okay.
I should buy LinkedInHell.com, too.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. You could get some mileage out of the publicity for it.
Yeah.
They sue you. Anyway, I got a question for you. I told you I'm going to come right to the tough stuff. Is it okay? Do you have anything to say before
I
proceed?
No.
Okay, so you write on your blog, my wife comes downstairs with a big smile, hiding something behind her back. My first thought was, it's a knife, butcher's knife. What did you think?
I kind of thought that it would be the book, but I wasn't sure.
You didn't think it was a knife?
No.
She likes you?
It was a nice smile.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is a book good for a marriage? Does it make Jessica love you more, or does it make her think all he ever thinks about is that book?
You know, I spent time on the book, and it was a stressful period of, I don't remember exactly the time frame, but I think it was like a month and a half. But, you know, after it was done, I was done. I mean, there's promotion and stuff, but I keep that within my hours. I'm not obsessed over this book.
Okay, so your wife's not mad at you?
No.
Okay. Another question?
Okay.
Ready?
Go for it.
Let me ask you this. Imagine Robert Sutton, a no-asshole guy, sends you a new book he's written, and you don't like it. Now, I know you think he's pretty terrific. That couldn't happen. But hypothetically, let's just say that you didn't think it was good. Would you write a good review because he gave one to you? I'm not here to embarrass you. You don't have to answer that question if it makes you uncomfortable.
I would write an honest review.
Mm-hmm. We had a funny tone when you said that. So, no, you wouldn't write a good review just pro forma because
you
got one.
Okay, so here's the deal. I've gotten books from other people who I haven't really liked. I haven't liked their books, but
yeah.
I like them a lot.
Yeah.
And it's hard because they expect me to do a blog review, and I've been able to do blog reviews, but I've always been honest on my book reviews.
Does that mean you say he's investigated this and that, but you don't give any judgments on the book?
He, the author?
Yeah, the author or she, you know, this is what they covered, and it sounds like you're endorsing it, but you're not really, because you don't use
the exact
words.
Let me give you a perfect example, and this one took me months before I actually got around to reviewing it, because I didn't know how to do it. Basically, when I finally sat down to review it, what I said was, This is an excellent book for somebody that's just preparing to get out of school. I wouldn't recommend this to professionals. I wouldn't recommend this to career experts. I wouldn't recommend this to XYZ. But if you're a junior or senior in school or in high school, this would be a great entry-level book for you to think about your career.
So you found a way to say it was good. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sincerely.
Right.
You said it sincerely. Is that person still your friend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he liked the review.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, he wrote back and he said, that's my audience. That's my target audience, which I didn't really put two and two together at the time. But the last thing I want to do is recommend a bunch of books on my blog and then have people come back and say, yeah, I read that one book and it was horrible, which totally discredits all my other book reviews.
Yeah,
right?
But when you start sending out your book, this is my point, to other people who write books to give you a review, and they give you a good review, you're kind of in a bind. That's my opinion.
Yeah, right. It's like when somebody recommends you on LinkedIn and says how wonderful you are, and then they want you to do the same thing back.
You know, I've recommended a lot of people. No one's ever recommended me, but
nope.
That's the way I like it. Now, Jason, I've heard, that's the way I'm going to cut you off. I heard that writing a book like this will not make you a ton of money, but that people really, they use their books to boost some other aspect of their careers. Is that right?
That's what I hear. The guy, Rich Dad, Poor Dad guy.
Who?
Apparently,
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kiyosaki. It's not Guy Kawasaki.
No, it's someone who's bouncing off of his name.
But yeah. I don't know.
When I write a book, I got to make it sound like Kawasaki. Go ahead.
Exactly. The animal Kawasaki.
Right.
Probably sell. Anyways, he said that he wrote his book to sell his board game.
Oh, yeah?
And as far as I know, he sold a ton more books than he has board games.
Okay. So, but what about you? We're talking about you. What was your intention? To make money or to promote yourself somehow?
You know, I would definitely like to make money off my book, and I got a royalty check, and it was kind of cool. I mean, it was exciting.
Was it over $100?
Yeah, it was over $100.
Okay, good. Good. Congratulations.
And it was cool and stuff, but to be honest with you, the main reason why I wanted to write this book, there's two reasons, okay? So the sub-reason is because I have a lot of my jibber-jobber users and people interested in their own career come back to me and say,
I know. You said that. You told that to Chris Russell. This is another interview. You're not talking
right
to Chris now.
So there's the informational reason. But the other reason came from Andy Cernovitz, Word of Mouth Marketing, who I saw him at a conference, and he was talking about creating word of mouth for your own company. And he said something to the effect of, when you're done getting all the word of mouth buzz that you can generate on your own, try and find another thing, like a company that's getting a lot of buzz, and see how you can attach yourself to that. And I had already thought of writing this book. I actually had the table of contents and had started. I had a publisher, all the stuff, but I just wasn't writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard him say that, I was like, this is it. I need to get some residual buzz, because LinkedIn is getting a lot of buzz and has been for a while. And
that's called positioning. I'm going to smash the statement. That's called positioning. When you position your unknown brand off of a popular brand, and people can do that in resumes by saying, I did contract work for this famous company.
Exactly.
Done it myself. But I appreciate you being so frank about your strategy. Last time you were here, you were the exact same way. And let me see. I want to get everything in, so I have to keep cutting you off.
That's fine.
Okay. Now, I'm going to introduce LinkedIn, and you tell me if I'm right, okay?
Okay.
Everyone listening to this show should know what it is, but sometimes, you know, ignoramuses wander in as well, and I'm going to do a quick intro. So LinkedIn is a site on which anyone can post his or her professional profile. It's free. The recruiters search it regularly when they're looking for candidates. Now, once you're on LinkedIn, you can request a formal linking of your profile to other people, to personal contacts whom you know, to their profiles. So your profile is connected to their profile. And if they accept, you get access to their networks as well as to the people who are directly connected to you. But there's a catch. There should be a number for this catch. Catch 33 or something like that. You can only connect to people who are up to three degrees away from you. So I can connect to you, Jason, your friend, and your friend's friend, but no further. When I do a search for people on LinkedIn, those are the only people whose profiles I can really see. I can see hints of the other people. Actually, I can see profiles for other people, but no names or identifying characteristics. Now, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. If I search LinkedIn looking for an IT manager, I could only get the full results on that people, let's say 3 degrees away. That's what I just said. I was rereading my little profile here. Okay, but this is where it becomes important for you. If a recruiter is looking for me, she can only find me if I'm within 3 degrees of her. So the smart thing to do on LinkedIn is to connect to as many people as possible to make it easy for you to find them and them to find you. Is that okay with you, Jason? Is that a description you would agree to?
In general, I would agree to pretty much everything that you said.
Okay.
There's issues as one of the major issues right now, and LinkedIn's really laying down the law with connecting with people that you don't have a real relationship with. So that very last part about connecting with as many people as you can. If I'm in a job search right now, I would agree with that. And actually, that just prompted me. I'm going to write a blog post on that because I think it's something that I haven't talked about before, but it's pretty clever.
Well, I think I owe that information to Shelly Elvis Steckerl, so I'd like to give a hat tip to him.
Go, Shelly.
Okay. So that makes me – so you agree with it, but you said LinkedIn doesn't. I know they don't. They don't understand how to use their own product, quite frankly. Now, customized invitations. This is where I'm going to dispute something with you. You say that, you know, invitations, when you're asking someone to link to you, should be customized to them and detailed. I'm here to tell you that you are wrong. I couldn't care less what people tell me in their invitations to link. I just want a link. That's all, so I can expand the reach of my database, because that's the key to LinkedIn. You know, nobody gets – I don't want to mention any names, but I've read a number of bloggers talking about it. They don't get it. Okay, so – in fact, when I see they've got a lot of crap in their invitation, I say, oh, no, maybe they want something from me rather than just linking to me.
Okay.
So you don't agree with that, right?
I don't – you know, honestly, I don't really care. And my position up until my blog post on that, which was like yesterday or the day before, was I don't care if you customize it or not. However, here's why I wrote that blog post, which basically said, please customize your invitation. The reason why I wrote that is because I'm on a number of email forums, and I do presentations, and you know, people buy my book and stuff, and I have no clue who these people are, and they're reaching out to me to connect. I don't know if they're going to, you know, I don't know what their intent is, or if they're like spammers, if they're losers. I don't know anything about
them. What difference does it make? All you want to do on LinkedIn is expand your database.
There's people that I'm going to be disconnecting with probably in the next few months.
Why is that?
I have absolutely no interest in being connected with them.
Yeah, but if they've got 1,000 links, that's a value to you.
Theoretically.
It is. Maureen, am I right?
I agree, it is.
100% right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you the actual groups that I'm going to be disconnecting with. These are they're known spammers within LinkedIn, and they are in a foreign country, and they're recruiters. Now, not that I have anything against recruiters. I'll tell you that right now. I agree, and I think you should be linked to recruiters, but I think these are some shady recruiters that are doing some things that they shouldn't be doing. And basically, me connecting to them provides no value for me, provides a lot of value for them.
Okay, I'm going to guess that they're connected to tons of people, but let's leave that then. Okay, if you know you're connected to – if someone was sending me all kinds of garbage through the channel to all his or her LinkedIn connections, I would delete that person as well.
Exactly.
But so far,
right,
hasn't happened to me, and I've been on for a long time, almost
right,
since the very start. Okay. Now, you say Shally is very cool. Why did you say that? What's cool about him?
I don't know. He's kind of like a god in this whole space.
LinkedIn god?
Google, searching, recruiting.
Okay. So no, you said you met him, and he's very cool. What's cool about him? You could say, I don't know.
I just think he's cool. He's laid back. He's very approachable.
Yes.
I've talked to him on the phone and in person.
Yes.
And he's just a cool guy.
Okay. I talked to him on the phone too. I will endorse him on the phone, and I've also listened to his webinars, and he's easy to follow. So
yeah,
I'll agree with you on that.
He's
but I'd also, what do you want to talk? Go ahead.
He's a teacher.
Michael.
Yes.
It's Thanksgiving. Be nice.
Not Thanksgiving here in Canada.
Eh?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm done.
No, you were going to say something. He's a teacher or something.
I just said he's a teacher. So, I mean, okay. The ability that he has to communicate with other people and help them understand complex issues,
yes,
he's a pro at that.
Okay, good. I'd also like to, at the same time, therefore, give a nod to Dave Mendoza of 6 Degrees from Dave. He is also a LinkedIn evangelist, and he's always willing to help people understand LinkedIn and to use it. He's offered to help me a number of times if I needed it. So thank you, Dave. What is LICM?
LICM is a software tool that somebody developed in one of the European countries. I don't know which one. The guy's name.
Don't give me the history. Just tell me what it does.
It's basically like a little act, like a gold mine, like a little
contact management
tool. What it does is it goes out to your LinkedIn account and it screen scrapes and pulls data from the LinkedIn website and puts it into your contact manager.
You mean searches you do on LinkedIn?
What's that?
Really, how does it do? You know what? Last week we asked, or 2 weeks ago, we asked Dave Lefko about this new open social API.
Yeah.
And, you know, are you familiar with that?
Slightly familiar.
Okay. Bill Vick told me that using that, we'll be able to connect our contact managers or applicant tracking systems to online databases like LinkedIn and make them virtually part of our databases as well. They essentially are now, but is that true?
It depends on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I mean, if LinkedIn allows you to do it, then you'll be able to do it. But LinkedIn can say, no, we're not going to allow that.
Okay. You also say that LinkedIn is going to do customer relationship management, CRM. And you said, using LinkedIn for relationship management is like using a butter knife as a screwdriver.
There you go.
Well, come on.
So people, I don't think LinkedIn does CRM, but a lot of people think it does. The idea behind CRM is that I have my database that I control with my contacts. I can put in whoever I want. I can take out whoever I want. I can put notes on them, action items, tie them to companies. I can manage this data, okay? LinkedIn doesn't allow you to put in whoever you want. It depends on the person whether they want to opt in or not. It doesn't allow you. You can disconnect people, but you can also have people disconnect from you without you knowing. You can't put notes on. Although, let me just make a quick caveat. LinkedIn has a new recruiter tool where they're allowing recruiters to start doing CRM things like put notes and rankings on.
Really? I didn't know that. Maureen, did you know it?
No, I didn't.
They showed it at Kennedy in Vegas, and then I heard from one of my contacts that they just showed it at Kennedy in Orlando. I don't know if it's live yet, but I know it's been
Now, how do they know if you're a recruiter from what your title is on your profile?
I think they know if you're a recruiter if you're paying the $3,000 a year or whatever.
Okay. It's paid for. Now, you know what? That brings me to my next issue, LinkedIn internal mail. If someone is more than 3 degrees away from you, you can see what he or she does. You can't see what company they're in. You can't see any contact information. So I've been paying for like a year or so, I don't know how long, for the internal mail function. It's a total waste of money for me. When I finally got around to using it, because I'm always going to call people directly, I'm never going to ask for introductions or anything like that. I'll find them and I'll talk to them directly. But I tried to use this internal mail to extend my network. It was totally useless. Do you recommend it for your, job hunting pals or what?
I don't recommend anybody, unless you're in a professional capacity, to upgrade on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I don't think that the upgrade features are worth it, especially for someone who's not a recruiter or in business development or something like that. Can I make a quick caveat?
Go ahead.
We talked about LICM, and it's pretty cool and how it screen scrapes and, stuff like that. There's an issue in right now, there's discussions between LICM and LinkedIn because screen scraping off of LinkedIn is against the policy, and they've shut people's accounts down because of using LICM.
Oh, they can notice that they're doing it?
How are they? I don't know how they're figuring it out, but there have been people who've had accounts that have been blocked.
Oh, okay.
Oh, anyways, so it's a pretty cool thing, but I don't recommend people using it, and I need to update my blog on that.
Okay. He's a good speaker. Maureen and Pam, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Very easy to understand. I remember him from last time. Okay, that's a big compliment from us, Jason Elba.
Thank you, animal and animal people.
Okay. Now, how do you use the LinkedIn wiki? My friend Anthony J. Meany told me once he went onto this wiki, he was able to vastly and rapidly increase his number of connections.
There are a few websites, including a LinkedIn Wiki. I don't remember the URL right now. But they basically list the open networkers and
top linkers, yeah, okay.
Yeah, top linkers, all that jazz. I did read this morning and yesterday that LinkedIn just banned the top link group. So if you're a member of that top link group on LinkedIn, you can't go in there anymore. They took it off.
What mean the website? They took off the website?
No. There's a group within LinkedIn.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Okay.
I need to go back to my email.
Maureen, are you trying to talk?
Why did they do that?
Well, like I said about 15-ish minutes ago, they're really trying to lay down the smack on open networking. LinkedIn only wants you to connect with people that you, quote, know and trust.
Do you know if you go, and I just put this out in the groups, do you know if you go to their user agreement that in their privacy area they are saying that they don't, you're not allowed to contact anyone other than through LinkedIn if you find them on LinkedIn? Now, how's that going to be controlled?
So basically that goes to what the animal said. They don't understand. They don't understand their product. They don't understand how networking is done. I mean, if they're telling me that I can't go out and connect with somebody that I see in my network, second or third degree contact, that's ridiculous.
It's other than through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
In other words, you can't call them, you can't email them outside.
Basically, what they want you to do is upgrade and use the communication system that they provide, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's dumb. Right. And speaking of someone else who's dumb, job hunters are dumb. In spite of what I said above. Somebody's phone is making funny noises. Just if they can take away that buzzing sound, that would be great. Can everybody hear me?
I can
yes.
hear you.
Okay. Does anyone else hear that beeping sound?
No,
I don't.
No.
Okay, it must be a Canadian issue. Okay, so job hunters are dumb. In spite of what I said about arrogance, professional arrogance, I will say it. The smartest job hunters are dumb. Now, really, because I have told so many people about LinkedIn, and they don't get it. First of all, they don't know anything about it. Secondly, they don't get it, and they're very resistant. You tell me, and I think, actually, I listened to you on Chris Russell, and I think you agree with me on that, right?
I think, that's why I wrote the book. I'm on LinkedIn, now what? I mean, I'm sure there's recruiters that still don't get it.
Well, do you have any evidence?
No.
Okay.
You go on site and you ask your audience how many of you are on LinkedIn. You only get a handful of shows.
Oh, you told me that before. Isn't that amazing, Jason? She goes. That's Maureen Sharif. She goes out to different large companies or associations to teach recruiters about sourcing.
Telephone.
And they telephone sourcing. Thank you, Maureen.
Okay.
If someone doesn't know. And you got a new name, by the way. It's the telephone sourcing dominatrix. And now I don't know what that says about Pam now that she's a star of your video, okay?
Oh, dear.
Anyway, and you're wearing black. Pam, you're wearing black in that video. I just want you to know, okay?
I know.
Pam, do you have your mask on?
Yes, I do.
No, she got the glasses. She's safe there. Anyway, I'm back to Jason. He's the star of this portion of the show. Now, Jason, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so these guys, she asked them, do you know about LinkedIn? And they say no. It's amazing.
People look at the job or the title of my book, I'm on LinkedIn, now what? And they kind of chuckle. And I say, I'll estimate that right now 15 million people have asked that very question. That's about the number of people that are on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I bet most people get on LinkedIn.
Yeah, but half of the people on LinkedIn are recruiters, and most of them know why they're
That's
there.
That's not true, Michael. It's only a small percentage.
What percentage do you think are recruiters?
Oh, I've seen the numbers, but...
Jason, do you have an 5% opinion?
5% maybe?
I don't know, but I know. I'm guessing that most of the paid users are recruiters.
That might be true. That I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so go ahead. You're telling us why you wrote the book and how stupid other people
are,
right?
Well, I was just saying, I think most everybody that's ever signed up on LinkedIn comes in and they say, okay, what the heck do I do now?
Mm. You know
what? They sign up and forget about it.
Yeah, they
do. Until somebody invites them.
And that's one reason the in-mail is no good. If you send the in-mail or internal mail, people don't see it for ages, right? Because they never check their mind you, I don't know. I guess they don't have it forwarded to their email addresses or what, but it doesn't get to them.
I think it defaults to send to your email.
Okay, well, that's not my experience, but who knows what's going on. So you're probably right, but anyway, okay. So
I was just going to expand on that, that, you know, job hunters, they don't know anything about creating an online presence at all. Nothing. Blogs, you know, Zigs.com or Zicky.com or Names.com, which Maureen introduced me to, they don't know anything about any of those things. So you got another book there, right? Creating an Online Presence. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I only have the one book.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I mean, you can write another book about it. Come on. We just said you're a smart guy, okay? Actually, we didn't say you're smart. We said you're a good interview. That's a little different.
Do we give free autograph copies today?
No, that's not fair. He's not a rich man, okay? He's not a big company.
We're on the couch, though.
Well, I know you're on the couch. Okay, I don't know. He can answer that himself. I'm going to buy my copy. Okay, so listen, Jason, is there a question I've been missing that is important to you?
No, I mean, you know, the whole big thing for me, aside from just the LinkedIn, but it's a part of what you're just talking about, is how do we get job seekers to care more about managing their careers?
Right.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I mean, everything from personal branding to networking to preparing for a transition in 2 to 3 years. How do you get job seekers when a recruiter calls them to be respectful and realize that's an excellent networking contact as opposed to being offended and wishing the recruiter would never call them? Isn't that an issue?
How many people are offended? I don't get much of that anymore.
A lot of people are offended.
By recruiters calling them?
Sure.
How do you know? You never call anyone.
We call people all the time.
No, you call people to find out the name.
Correct, but they automatically assume, are you a recruiter? That's the first question out of mouth.
Pam, come on, you're trying to take the names out of the company. That's different.
No,
I'm telling you. Maureen, I'm going to yell at her if you don't keep her in touch.
You don't get to yell at me because it's the truth. It's the first thing in their head.
Okay.
Are you a recruiter?
I got it. Maureen.
You're asking the wrong questions, Pam.
Maureen, we're on the verge of getting into your time. This guy's kind of interesting. Should we
keep
him?
Let's go on with him. Do we have anybody on the couch that wants to ask anything?
Okay, Jason, can you hold on one sec?
Where's this couch place?
You're on the couch.
We're on the couch.
Oh,
okay.
This is like a talk show.
Couch.
Come on, have some imagination, will you?
So it's kind of like we're on The View.
Right.
Come on. You're on the Johnny Carson show or something like that. You're not in The View.
You're in the Ed McMahon.
Those girls are on The View.
Right. We're in the Ed McMahon seat. You're in the guest seat.
That's right. Now, listen, there's another 801. 801, I can't give out your number. Are you calling for Jason or for Maureen?
This is Robert Merrill from SOS Technical in Utah.
And are you calling to ask Maureen a question about telephone sourcing, or do you want to talk to Jason Alba?
Well, I actually know Jason, and I was calling in to comment on some of those questions about recruiters, if people get offended, and if people knew, if people were using LinkedIn or had any clue how to use it.
Okay, Robert Merrill, I know you. I never talked to you before, though. Wait a second. What's your good recruits? That's you, right?
Good recruits or UtahTechJobs.com.
Okay, Utah Tech Jobs, no interest to me. Come on, I'm up here in Toronto. One more second. Just put you on second, Bob. Okay, area code 415. Are you calling? You don't even have to say anything if you're just one of those secret callers. But are you calling for Maureen Sharib or Jason Alba?
I think this is Louise Berto. Hey, Maureen.
Hey, how are you, Louise?
Great, thank you. I am calling actually for a question for Maureen. I'm enjoying the LinkedIn discussion. I think that even people who actually say that they want to hear about career inquiries still hate it when a recruiter calls them,
Louise, come on. Bob wants to talk about the same thing. Give him his chance first, then I'll come to you, okay?
Okay,
and you'll get to ask Maureen your question as well. Don't worry about that. Bob Merrill, do you want to talk?
There you go again, Michael.
I can be nice, Animal. You're really in charge. That's great.
I am in charge. Go ahead. Shoot.
Well, my only comment was if people get offended when recruiters call, I do see it all the time. In fact, every time I'm meeting with candidates or in user groups, I'm in technical recruiting, so when I meet with candidates in user groups and I ask them what can recruiters do better, they always it's always one of the first comments of, you know, well, don't try and, you know, take my information and don't submit me without my permission. And it's all stuff that I don't think that we do, but for some reason there's a perception out there that recruiters.
Okay, now you're recruiting techies, right? What level of techies? Am I right about that with the Utah Tech Jobs? What level of guys?
Mid-level is usually our
That's
most...
That's why I like you, Animal. You're really sharp. You're perceptive.
I'm in the same business as him. It doesn't take much brains. Thank you. Go ahead.
Mid-level, sometimes senior level.
Modest.
Okay, mid-level, senior level, I'm not sure what that means, but some of the more junior guys are dumber than the other guys. That's all I have to, and also they get pestered more as well. And I assume there are people who make submissions, but I have never encountered that myself, just like you. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. I've never done it. So, okay. Now, Louise, to you. Louise?
Yes, dear.
Please. What's your comment about that?
I would say that there are a lot of staffing firms out there that are very heavily metric-driven, and they say to their recruiters, if you do not have X amount of submissions per week, we will let you go.
That's mean.
And so those are the people who are going to be submitting recruiters, submitting resumes without directly talking to the candidate first. So I do see that.
Oh, really?
It gives everybody a bad, bad name.
I agree. I see it, too. My shop doesn't do that, but I see it out there.
Okay, so you're changing your tune. It does happen, right?
It does. It happens in some shops, but I don't think I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think it happens as much as the candidates think they do, especially those junior ones. Seems like they not only may be less experienced, but they also get angry.
Yeah, they're idiots. I've had a few people hang up on me as well. Maybe they get 100 calls from recruiters, but I doubt it. They're, you know, and those same guys will come crawling back when they don't have a job. Louise.
Yes.
Do you want to ask Maureen your question now, and then she'll get to think about it while I'm back with Jason?
Okay. All right. This is a very basic question. I place finance and accounting folks, okay? And the problem that I have with LinkedIn or Zoom or Hoover's is that it's not granular enough and that you can get the C-level folks, but you can't get the lower-level folks, right, where there's still a pretty high demand, for example, controllers. So, Maureen, my question is, I've run a Hoover search. I got a bunch of CFOs and companies, but really I need to talk to the controllers. What do I say?
Send us to the controller's office, please.
No, and they sit back and say, and you are, or what do you, you know, you always dial in with a number.
Can we put this on hold just for like 10 minutes? We'll wrap up with Jason, and that's a very good question. Okay? We've got time.
I have an answer for you, Louise.
You got the answer already?
Yeah.
Okay, shoot. Jason, is it okay?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Okay, because you weren't here for the hour, but we're going to give you more time than we scheduled. No, go ahead, Maureen. Sorry.
Louise, what I would do is I would set when
hold
I...
Hold on, one sec. One sec.
Oh, there's our theme music.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm not coming into the bathroom window on this one. When I set the job up, Louise, I would go to Hoover's. You're using Hoover's, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I would go to Hoover's, and I would look at their executives, see who all they have listed. Many times they'll have the CFO listed.
Right.
Now, you want the controller, right?
Right.
Okay, so I would call the main number. I would ask to be transferred to the – can you please transfer me to whatever the name is of the CFO? Let me back up. This is Maureen Cherub. I would repeat the receptionist's name back to her, and I would say, can you please transfer me to the executive assistant – to whoever the CFO is. And then she would say, just a moment, and then I would quickly say, before you transfer me, in case I get disconnected, can you tell me what's her name and does she have a direct dial or an extension number? Okay, now you know why I want that. I want that direct dial or that extension number so that if I'm reduced to it, I can stab in. I can just start calling into the company around them.
You know,
number.
Maureen, is it okay if we come back to this? Because it's
sure.
A great question, but I just, Jason's sitting here, right?
No, I'm cool. I'm learning. I mean, this is all stuff that that helps me understand the space better.
Well, I'll just comment on something Louise said. She said that LinkedIn is not granular, but actually, I don't use that term myself, but it is granular, Louise. That's why it's so good. It's so much better than Hoover's.
It is in some cases, but let's assume that for the type of search that I do, it's not granular enough. So I have to do the pure sourcing that Maureen does.
You know, I was recruiting controllers this summer myself. And I did have some problems, but they're fairly senior. Well, they're kind of in the middle, but sometimes they're the senior financial person in the company, right?
No, only if it's a very, very small company.
Okay.
The senior person.
Okay.
The...
So
Maureen is just at the point where I've said, before you transfer me,
can you please tell me what her name is, her extension number, or her direct dial? Okay, and then she gives it to me, and I say, can you please transfer me to her? Now, remember, I have the receptionist's name because you told me when she answered, right? Most of them do, Louise.
Yeah,
you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, so when I get to, let's say the executive assistant's name is Mary, and the receptionist's name was Sheila. When I get to Mary's office, she picks up the phone and she says, the CFO's office, whatever his name is, and I say, Mary, this is Maureen Cherub. Sheila transferred me to you. Can you tell me? I'm trying to reach the controller's office. Can you tell me who that is? That works more often than it not, Louise.
Okay.
For me, it does.
Okay.
Now, again, it's how you approach. It's your tone. It's arriving at her desk with a sense of familiarity.
And because you use Sheila, does Mary ever come back to you and say, and can you tell me what's this about?
Rarely.
Very rarely at the executive level.
She's so busy. Louise, remember, she's supporting him. She's doing a lot of his work. She's so busy. She knows where all the bodies are buried. She knows what the secrets are, where the pencils are kept. You've heard me say this, who the girlfriend is. She doesn't give a rat's rear end about who she tells what.
You can say asshole in this show because asshole is the friend of Jason's got a friend who uses that.
She just needs to clear her deck, Louise, and you know, finish with you as quickly as possible. That's the psychology that's at work usually.
Okay. So you call the receptionist. You say, hey, could I please speak to Bill Smith? Because I already know the CFO's name.
You know his name. It's usually listed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once in a while, Hoover's will have controllers listed, but not often.
They have, like, two for my range for out of, like, 300 companies.
Okay.
So can I ask a question? You say that LinkedIn's not granular enough. If I were a controller and I put in my account, you know, controller and companies and stuff like that, would that be enough to help you in your job?
Well, it would be only if somehow my connections are connected to you. And so my
that's
is
right.
that I recruit for a specific geographic area, and so what I'm trying to do is link to as many people as I can, including, you know, open networkers in my geographic area in the hope that their connections have it, right? But I'm still limited to the fact that, and you guys I'm sure know this, finance and accounting people are not online as much as techies
right.
or as much as sales and marketing.
Absolutely true.
That's true.
And they completely do not trust this newfangled LinkedIn. You know, you have to try to really explain to them why they need it so much.
Right.
Well, and their business is protecting assets, right?
Right.
So they're not really going to be thinking about how can I share more information.
That is
right.
exactly right. Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah,
yeah that is.
That's exactly
true.
Right. So.
That's true.
They're paranoid because they all want to move as well. And every audit manager wants to become a controller, right?
Not every VP of finance.
No.
Yeah, you're right, Michael.
That's my experience.
Yeah.
Moving Louise, on. You want to feed it back to Maureen one more time, or you're willing to come back to it at the end of the show? We'll give you.
Oh no, I think this is very helpful. And Maureen, if this when this works, I'm sending you something special from the San Francisco Bay Area. So. And maybe
buy her a copy of Jason's book.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You can stay on, but I just want to. You know, people are going to call in, listen in, and listen for him. So I just want to. I'm sorry, we're ruining the schedule, but he's. What can I say?
Let me say one thing, Louise. Are you on Magic Method?
Yes.
Are you subscribed? You know, there's a script in there about doing finance people that kind of follows what I just went through.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like in the third or the fourth module.
Okay.
Take a look at it. Go back and.
Now, Jason, if any of your students listen to this show, they'll get an idea what recruiters are really interested in and how they find people and what they and why they should be on LinkedIn. Because if Louise could find someone like that on LinkedIn and call the person, she wouldn't be asking this question.
Not of
Absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely.
Of course, I need to say, of course, that LinkedIn's privacy policy expressly and directly prohibits you from calling somebody directly without using. So I would never, ever.
Me neither.
What's that all about, Louise? Is that nuts or what?
Never, ever do that because, you know, that would be against the privacy policy. And
but is that nuts or what? I don't get that.
Well, here's a question. Okay, here's a question. I got a question for Jason before I forget. Jason, when you advise your job hunters to network with strangers inside a company whom they find on LinkedIn, what's your spiel? What do they do? What protocol do they follow?
I always tell them to contact the person outside of LinkedIn.
Okay, and what do they say to them?
I would say something like, hey, I saw you on LinkedIn, and try and throw in some maybe commonalities that you found between, you know, from their profile, and basically say I'd love to get together for lunch or something, or, you know, I mean, it depends on whether they're looking for a relationship, a professional relationship, or if they're looking to find out who that person knows. But I always recommend that people somehow get that person to a lunch.
if you can get an hour or an hour and a half of just lunchtime with that person.
So you're assuming that they're calling only locally, right? Or are they going to fly from New York to Los Angeles?
No. That's obviously at a local place. Outside of the local, I would have them contact people either via email or on the phone. And I don't know. I haven't really told people, you know, what to say. I kind of go on assumptions that people are going to say different things based on their personalities or what they're looking for.
I would say there's a protocol they should follow, wouldn't you, Bobby? Merrill? Based on being a recruiter, there's a certain approach you take. You tell people right. In fact, I think Jason had the same thing for email. You say who you are, you know, what company you're with, or and why you're calling right away, and then give them a chance. But go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
No, I think you're right. I think there's some basic protocols, but I don't think it's anything you need to take a class on or anything. Generally, be respectful and realize that other person has other things on their plate, and you're not the most important thing in their world right now. And if you're gracious and you appreciate their time and you offer them something like a lunch or something else, then chances are they're going to at least pay attention to you.
I'd love to know what the results are, because I'll bet you most people don't have the guts to make the call, and they don't know how to handle it well enough to get the other person feeling comfortable with them and giving them information. I'd really like some stats on that.
I've had very few people call me from a referral from any source, and someone says, hey, I understand you're the guy with the jobs, whatever, and they call me. I've never really had people, except at a very senior level, invite me to lunch. But they will ask for my time, and we usually set up an appointment, and that may be because I'm busy and I ask for that, or they ask for that up front.
You know what? It's different. You're a recruiter. People, you're used to being approached by the public.
I am.
Calling a lot of strangers. If you're a controller and some schmo finds you on LinkedIn and calls you up to pump you for people in the company whom he or she can approach, you have to make a good presentation, either on voicemail or in real time, and in order to get the person to want to share information with you. You can't sound scared or stupid or anything like that. I think that takes a lot of skill, and there should be a chapter in on that. So I'm going to fault you on that, Jason, and I'm sorry. I believe it strongly. Louise, are you with me on that?
I am with you.
Maureen, no, you guys don't call anybody.
No.
I agree that it makes a big difference.
I think he hit it on the head, though, when he said, you know, when you when you're gracious and polite, that goes, you know, 80% of the way.
And concise.
And bribery.
Yeah, and concise.
That's and bribery.
You know what? I wouldn't be bribed to go to a meal with somebody I thought I might feel awkward with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can buy my own lunch.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay.
Now, there should be a virtual lunch.
Jason, I'm happy to have you back for another half hour. You sound like a great guy to talk to. This is the last question I'm going to ask you so we can go back to Louise. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's great. Sorry for taking out.
No, well, don't be sorry. I'm the boss here. You're not in charge. Okay, listen, branding. You're a very big fan of branding. You like to stay on the message. You told us all about it in the earlier program. I recommend it to everybody, where you revealed all your blogging secrets, as far as I know. Anyway, so you like to stay on message very much, and you're kind of a proper guy. I don't know what you talk like off the air, but you're sort of on
a lot
the straight,
of bad words, probably.
Yeah, okay, but you're on the straight and narrow on your blog. That's why you had a separate blog for all the bad stuff. Now, now you're now a great admirer of this guy, Robert Sutton, and his book is called The No Asshole Rule. Would you use a word like that on your blog or on your book in business communications?
I actually did on my blog, and I've wanted to blog on his book for a long time, and I never did just because of the word. However, I think it's fine quoting the title. I wouldn't use that, you know, in my casual blogging.
Okay, and maybe it makes a difference if the guy's at Harvard, people will forgive him?
Stanford.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not as good.
The Harvard thing is that Harvard refused to print his book unless he changed the title.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he said, I'm walking away, which is awesome.
Oh, awesome, yeah. Okay, so do you want to stick around for the end of the show, or do you want to leave now? I'll give you that.
I'll listen in. I'll go to the Ed McMahon chair.
Okay, so I'm going to thank you. That's right. You know, your band played. We had you over, and now you move over for the next guest. So I'll thank you at the end of the show. So, Louise and Maureen, you go back to it. You got 10 minutes.
You want us to go back to it?
Is there something else did you say, or did I ruin the momentum?
Well, let's talk about when she does push back, the 5% of the time that she does push back. Can
5%?
Talk about that, Louise?
Yeah, actually, and I would say it's as polite and confident as I try to be, I would say I get pushback a little bit more often than 5%.
75%.
Yeah.
You get pushback 75%?
Well, they're just being, and like you said, they're just
at that
doing
level?
Their job. They're just trying to protect. It's like, may I ask, first off, I always say my name, but who is this? And then they say, what company are you with?
Hmm.
And usually I say, oh, it's I'm with myself.
You're an independent contractor.
Yeah, because...
They usually say then?
They're usually okay.
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah. The issue is getting somebody to trust you enough, somebody who is a stranger on the phone, to trust you enough to give you the name of somebody else. And that's why I listen to you, and that's what I follow. And it sounds so easy, but it's really not.
Well, I was in Austin last month. I said this before on the show. A guy came up to me at break, and he said, Maureen, what you say is true. This is really very, very simple process, but it's not easy.
Yes.
And I keep repeating that because it's not. It's not easy, but it is simple. And it has to do with your approach and how you sound, your tone. If you sound, like your voice is filled with trepidation, she's going to hear it.
Right. Because my question is, if I call Mary, once again, Sheila's the front desk person, and I say to Mary, the admin, Sheila told me to call you.
No, sorry. Sheila transferred me to you.
Sheila,
she didn't tell her
me
to call.
To you.
Right.
Could you tell me, and I'm trying to write down, could you tell me... Do I say to her, could you transfer me to the controller?
You could do that.
I'm trying to reach the controller's office, and I don't know his name. Can you either transfer me there or tell me who it is?
And
something along that line.
And at that point, Mary's going to think, why didn't Sheila send you to this already?
Or you can say, I've been sent to the wrong office. Can you send me to the controller's office?
I know I'm in the wrong space.
I'm in the wrong office.
I know I'm in the wrong office. Can you transfer me to the controller's office?
Okay.
Or I'm sorry to bother you, Mary. I know I'm in the wrong office. Can you transfer me to the controller's office?
Okay.
But you said something before. What was that, Louise? You said she's going to say.
I'm worried, and this is the thinking.
Okay.
So I know this.
That
I'm worried
is what
that,
it is.
Yeah, exactly. That she's going to be thinking already. Why wouldn't Sheila transfer you directly to the controller?
Yeah, she's not going to be thinking that.
No, most of the time they don't. Mm-hmm.
They're just too busy.
Because if you already know where you want to go, you're giving her brain space. She doesn't have to think anymore. Okay, she sent me. Okay, they sent for some reason. Front desk sent me to. Sent
she's
you to her.
To you with a part of her brain, not all of it.
Right.
Part of it.
Okay. Look forward to trying this.
Okay.
Do you, anything else to say about that, Louise? You don't sound confident.
No, I'm thinking, should I try this today, the day before Thanksgiving?
Why
not?
The cat's away.
Yeah.
You know what? I have my best success in discovering people on the morning of Christmas Eve. I called endlessly once trying to find out some engineers. I couldn't even get through because the admin person I wanted to talk to always had her voicemail on. That's really frustrating. Christmas morning or Christmas Eve morning, I call up, and I was really dedicated, and I could hear the party going on in the background. There she is. She picked up the phone. She gave me everything I needed.
Okay. Why not?
Exactly.
I'd love to be calling you back in a week or two and say, oh, my God.
So,
pay money to these people.
Would you do that?
Oh, sure.
Call back. We'll be on it again.
Two weeks, Michael? Okay. 2 weeks. You want to feedback, though, what Maureen told you? So, you can listen to this program in 5 minutes. As soon as we're off, you can listen to the show again so you can figure out what she said. But maybe you'd like to feedback.
I could feedback. So ring, 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 and let's hope that the receptionist says her name, which, by the way, not all the time I get, especially for the big companies. But let's say that then I say, hi, this is Louise. Can you please transfer me to the executive assistant of Bill Smith, who I already know is the CFO? She transfers me into the executive assistant, and I say, hi, this is Louise. I transferred to you from the front desk, but I think I'm in the wrong place. I'm trying to reach the controller. Can you send me to?
I wouldn't even say I think.
Okay.
I would say, Mary, I am so sorry. I know I've been transferred to the wrong office. I needed the controller's office.
Okay.
You're a little more in control that way.
Okay. I need did the controller.
That's a good point.
You don't have to write it down. It's on tape. You can download it and keep it on your own computer.
Some people learn when they write things down.
Okay, sorry.
Would you stop? This is our show, remember?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. You know what? You're positioning yourself on the Recruiting Animal show. I have to watch out for my brand, right, Jason?
Absolutely. Stay on brand.
Yeah, I think that apologizing right away. I know I'm in the wrong office. Can you transfer me over? That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even going to think very long about why
right.
you're there. And I've even done it before where I call in and I just say, you know, honestly, I'm lost in your phone tree and I'm trying to find this person. Can you help me?
Yeah, that's effective. Can you help me?
I'm sorry. I'm lost in your phone tree and
yeah.
I know I'm in the wrong place.
Imagine you're just on the phone with, you know, your cell phone company for on hold for an hour, right, and then call in and sound frustrated.
Oh, that would be, I'm sorry, that would be just so funny. I have to do that. Okay.
It works.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to help people.
Okay.
No. Not. Except,
no, maybe
except
not
you.
Mike.
I'm with Maureen. Not Maureen. I'm with Louise on this one.
What?
Louise, if you don't know how to download the show or listen to it, recruitinganimal@gmail.com. Send me an email and I'll make sure you get it.
Okay. I'm just looking and it says download podcast.
No, no. Don't look now, Maureen. I mean, Louise, you're on the show. We've got an audience here, okay? I just want to make sure you got your stuff.
I like to hear the theme song again.
Your theme song?
Yeah.
The window?
Well, okay. Hold
have,
on
we, have we settled on that, Pam?
I don't
yeah.
know, but I like it.
I like it, too.
Okay.
Jason, isn't that a good theme song for them?
I think it sounds great.
They're coming in through all sides. You can hear it.
Which reminds me, Pam, have you ever met one of the Beatles?
Yeah, I met Paul McCartney.
Oh,
no? Right. Oh, that's right. You talked about that last time.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. We're not on The View, girls. Come on. Okay. Now, I just want to point. I want to point something out to Jason. Okay, and his fellow. You're both in Utah, right? Bob Merrill and.
That's right.
And Jason Alba. Do you know each other?
We do.
We do.
Oh, okay.
I've bought lunch for Rob, and yeah.
First time. You found him on LinkedIn, and you called him up to pump him for info.
Found him on the blog.
Okay, what'd you buy him? Was it a good lunch?
It was a very expensive lunch.
Wow.
At Tucano's. Yep.
And did he give you any good information?
Rob's always given me good information.
Oh, okay. Okay. But here's the point. You know, I've often thought that, you know, the job hunters, they can also do it. Sometimes they want to get through to a person. They can't find the person on LinkedIn, but they know that kind of person is going to be the kind of person they want to talk to. They have to do a little phone sourcing. I'd say it's beyond anybody as well. You really have to have a personality or training or something. But the kind of thing we talked about is useful to job hunters as well for the very same reason that LinkedIn is useful. Wouldn't you say so, Jason?
Absolutely. I think that biz dev guys and salespeople, ex-recruiters, they're going to have an okay time doing it. But most people, I think, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do it when I was in my job search last year. It's scary.
It is scary, but you don't sound like you scare easily.
Well, you know, last year when I was in my job search, I was at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, the $20,000 HR person wouldn't return my emails.
Mm-hmm.
You feel pretty scummy, you know, when it gets to that point.
Yeah.
And that's how you started your business,
away from
right?
you when you walk in the house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
heaven forbid you try and call somebody a cold call.
So when you were doing your job search and your wife came down the stairs with her hand behind her back and a smile on her face?
Oh, I was way beyond my job search at this point.
That's not what I mean. Anyway, that was a joke, okay? Now, I'm going to let you wrap up. Is there something else that you have to tell us or tell your listeners out there?
Let me just end with the question that I asked last, which is how do we get more job seekers or more people to be concerned with their career management? And it's not something that any of us can push down their throats. It's something that they have to come to on their own. The easiest way is for them to get let go and have a bad job search like me.
Right. Well, the other thing is I think you should send press releases to, like, you know, all the major television networks and have them on their show so you can start teaching the masses, and that's what it is, making it mainstream.
Yeah.
Getting it to the masses, getting your info out to the masses.
Have you been on local cable TV, Jason?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
that's
good
a good idea.
Maybe
that's
Bob knows
idea,
someone
man.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bob, do you know anybody?
They don't even have our local football games on local cable TV.
That's true.
You mean the high school football games. Okay. Bob Merrill, anything to say? Any predictions? You want to congratulate Jason on his book or anything like that?
I absolutely do. I think it's a great book. Jason did a great job, and I appreciate, you know, I can refer people to Jason because I know he's been there and he can help them out a little more in detail than I can. The only thing I'd like to say, Animal, is that kind of on that comment about not being able to connect with people out of LinkedIn, and everyone on the show said, you know, you don't understand. That's the problem. I think LinkedIn doesn't understand. You've already been through that today. But at the end of the day, they're going to get their lunch eaten by all these other great social networks that actually allow people to do what people do, and that's connect. And LinkedIn is so worried about their brand.
They're so well established. They won't cut us off if we go overtime, but they are so well established. They're at least maybe not in the larger population, which gives somebody else an edge, but among people like us, they're the guys. I mean, no one else really comes to mind. I don't have time.
I agree.
Pardon me?
I agree for now.
Well, I agree for now.
Who do you think is going to come on?
I think Facebook could take over this status, this role that they're playing, but Facebook's still pretty noisy and not dry enough or too playful. I don't know how to say it, but Facebook, there's still too much noise within Facebook for professionals to be drawn.
There's no profiles there either. You don't really have a good resume on Facebook.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're not seeing a very good comprehensive, you know, view of what.
And no search engine, like no advanced searches like on LinkedIn.
You know, it's interesting. I use LinkedIn when I'm working with companies and I'm looking for professionals to contact. I use Facebook when I'm looking for candidates to hire, generally.
That's interesting.
It's a younger generation, and
right.
I agree that LinkedIn has that professional edge, and they definitely will keep that, but they still got their tie on real tight, and they're keeping everything real wrapped up, and they're gonna lose it pretty soon because you know, with open social and the new networking tools that are coming out, all of a sudden all of their wins gonna be out of their sails, and they're not gonna be able to recover. Frankly, they've done some good things over the last couple of years, but they still are a closed walled garden. They won't let other people get to their information, and they're just not playing very nicely with my stuff. You know who I know.
The big question is, what do they open up with open social? How open are they really going to be? That's what I'm dying to see.
If they won't even let you make a phone call to the person that you know their name now, and you can call their company because you've got them right there on LinkedIn, if they won't even quote-unquote let you, that just is the wrong mentality.
That's just a bark. They can't do anything. I have a question I didn't ask you, Jason.
They can cut you off their system.
Well, if someone reports you?
Yeah, and, you know, the way they...
You don't have to tell the person you found them on LinkedIn.
Say that you found them on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm not on Facebook. You are now. Hey, what about Jaxter? One of the first guests I had on this show...
I forgot about that.
One of the first guests I had was Constantine Garicki.
Constantine, yeah.
And so he started this Jaxter. You can call people for free, and you can actually put a link on LinkedIn to your Jaxter phone number. People just press it and they call you for free. Did you talk about that kind of thing in your book?
I talked about the section where you can put in extra websites. I didn't specifically mention Jaxter.
Mm-hmm. Would you recommend it?
Jaxter, I don't really have it. I use Skype, and I think Jaxter is really cool, especially in the UK. In Europe. I don't have enough experience or knowledge about Jaxter. I put out questions, what's the value of Jaxter? But I haven't had enough information come back where I can really say that it's something I recommend people jump on.
Okay, well, people can call you for free. These days long distance isn't expensive anyway, but no one sees your phone number. That's it. Like, a recruiter could call you without seeing your phone number. I think it's really made for kids flirting on MySpace or something like that. But once I had Riveting Rosie, she's a blogger. I said, well, here, call me from Georgia or wherever she is, or North Carolina, sorry, just by clicking this link, and she could give me a call. And the quality of the call was pretty good, but you know, she could have called me if she wanted to for 2 or 3 cents a minute anyway. Okay, so you know, actually, we didn't let Maureen talk a lot about LinkedIn, but she's an ultra expert as well, and I assume Pam is as well. We've never had a conversation about it. Bobby, you sound like you're very opinionated and knowledgeable and articulate. We'll have to have you back as a guest, okay?
Hey, thanks.
Louise, do you have any last words, predictions, complaints?
No, thank you very much.
Okay. Mika, you sound great on the phone, got to tell you. It's a compliment to a recruiter.
Thank you. Lots of practice.
Pam, Simon, I'm sorry you got sidetracked. We didn't get to talk about your, you know, video.
Let's talk about it now.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to ask you if you have any last words to say, predictions, complaints, you know, congratulations to
Jason. Let me say this. When I show Pam's video, when I go on site and do training,
yes.
When I show her video, they're spellbound.
Yes.
The audience is spellbound. They describe it as riveting. When it's over, when the lights come up, their mouths are hanging open. They just can't believe it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Does anybody ever call you for a date after one of those?
No, thank God.
Pretty curious about this video now.
Okay. You can watch. I'll send you TalkSourcing.com.
Pam, on the next one, we could add a mask.
TalkSourcing.com. It's at the top of the page. You'll see the introductory part. It's very funny. Okay. Jason, Alba, thank you for being the guest. Respect.
Thank you for the time.
Do you have anything you'd like to say, closing words? Is there a question that, you know, you were hoping the whole time? I hope this guy doesn't ask me this question. I'm afraid if he asks me that question.
If I had that question, I'd never come on your show. I think it's all fair. One thing that I'll say, and I've never really said this before, but for any recruiters out there,
yeah.
If you could recommend jibberjobber.com to your clients, I think that would do them a great service.
You know, I'm really sorry we didn't discuss jibberjobber, at least give people an intro. But next time you're on, because you'll be back. I know you will.
Sounds great.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.